As I was saying, in order to understand Hebrews better, we need to understand the context and the background of why the author of Hebrews wrote to the Christian Jews at the time. We don't know the name of the author. This unknown author of Hebrews had an urgent message to the Jews who believed in Jesus Christ as their Savior. Though they received salvation and were being taught by the apostles, their faith was being shaken by the unbelieving Jews who enticed them to go back to keeping the Old Testament Mosaic laws and question the deity of Jesus Christ. Also, they were getting confused by false teachers with wrong doctrines, and furthermore, were being persecuted by the Jews and Romans at the time. So all of this resulted in Christian Jews being confused in their faith, eventually not attending worship regularly, and therefore shrinking back in faith. The author of Hebrews was urging and reminding them that their goal as a believer of Jesus Christ were two things in Hebrews 12:14. If you can turn with me to Hebrews 12:14, I will read, "Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord." So first, the purpose of their life and our life as believers on this earth is to live a holy life, practical holiness. Our position in Christ is holy. We have brought into that position, but as we after we believe in Christ, we have to be holier and holier. And our practical holiness is where we're becoming more like Jesus in character, thinking, and emotion until we reach the ultimate perfection in heaven. So second goal for our life is to bless others by bringing peace to all people, unbelievers and believers. Not only we're given this privilege to bring the ministry of reconciliation to people. So as Jesus Christ reconciled us to God as peacemaker, we are called to this ministry to bring the message of peace, this gospel message to unbelievers. Now, I'd like to focus today with a verse, next verse, Hebrews 12:15. It says, "See to it that no one misses the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many." I like to study this verse. The first part, it says, the writer of Hebrews commands the Christian Jews to see to it that no one misses the grace of God. See to it here means look all around carefully. First, the ones who misses the grace of God points to unbelievers who have yet to receive the grace of God. That is the first message to us today. One of our purposes here on earth is to be the messenger of Christ, to introduce Jesus to those who do not believe. We'll tell them to believe in Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God, and by believing in him, our sins are forgiven, and we become his children. So we lead unbelievers to Christ by loving on them, serving them, and praying for them, and then bringing them to church to hear the words of Christ. This is not a choice that God gave us, whether to do or not. No, this is a must-do calling for every Christian, you and me. When we look all around carefully and love on those who don't know Christ with Christ's love, they are eventually led to attend worship service. And it is God who gives the Holy Spirit and does his work of moving their hearts to accept him. Faith comes as they keep hearing the message. So the ones who misses the grace of God in Hebrews 12:15 is not only referring to the unbelievers, but to those who believe in Jesus Christ and receive salvation, but backslided as Christians. Their faith has shrunk back. So in Hebrews 2, verse 1, says that we must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. And also Hebrews 10:38 says, "But my righteous one will live by faith. If he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him." So when we shrink back in faith, it does not please the Lord. Let us be people who do not waste and throw out the grace of God. When we go backwards from grace, what happens? Problems arise. Unity and peace are broken. Life of holiness turns into life of negativity on our minds and then to our lips, and affects people all around us, not only to ourselves, but to those around us. And this is also the attack from the devil, because the devil hates it when God's children receive power and ability to become strong witnesses for Christ. Our Lord wants to pour his maximum grace on his children, just like parents who wants to give us the best of the best on their children. But we must fix our eyes on Jesus and look up to him continually, daily, to receive this grace. Let's turn to a model, good model, of someone who continually received this grace, Apostle Paul. So turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15:10. This is Paul speaking. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. So, but by the grace of God, with confidence, Apostle Paul declares that the grace he received was not without effect. When he says, I worked harder than all of them, he's not boasting, saying, I'm better than, you know, others, comparing himself. But he's declaring that he can confidently say that he, moment by moment, he clung to the grace with strength and effort into what pleased the Lord. He's able to confess with clear conscience in front of people and God that he stood firm, making all labor and effort. I hope you and I can confess the same statement in our lives. So let's turn to Colossians 1:29. To this end, I labor, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me. Again here, Paul says this grace and ability are poured on you and me as we struggle to do God's will. God sufficiently pours everything we need, lacking nothing, when we are in his will and growing, going forward in our faith. So let us be people who don't waste and backslide into our old ways that dirty us and go back to our ways. If we did, God always gives us a second chance to repent and come back to him. What is important is this realization. And from now is a new start, new grace that is sufficiently given to us every day when we turn back to him. So let us examine our spiritual state today. Am I better today than yesterday, a few weeks ago, a month, or a year ago? If you are saying, oh, you know, a year ago, you know, I was so strong, I was fired up for God. A few years ago, you know, I met Christ and I was, you know, spreading the gospel to whoever I met. But now, if you're saying that, you're already not at your peak in your closeness to God. So I encourage you, you know, I hope that we are at your peak today, and that we can profess that we are at the peak of faith in the Lord and going forward in our faith. When we do his kingdom work and his righteousness, God continually supplies all grace and ability as we pour blessing upon others, because we give blessing from what we receive, not from within our own strength or own power, because we receive the power from him that we're able to bless others. So let's now turn to the second part of today's verse. Hebrews 12:15 says that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. So the bitter root here are three things in the context of when the book of Hebrews was written. First, bitter root that caused trouble was the unbelieving Jews who shook the Christian Jews, confusing them with the Old Testament laws and questioning Jesus as the chief priest and the Messiah. They emphasized going back to keeping the laws to receive salvation. They did not know the grace of God, the gift of salvation. Second, bitter root refers to those who believe in Jesus Christ, but also emphasize requirement of circumcision and also keeping the laws. This is the wrong doctrine of salvation, salvation by good deeds. This kind of teaching is from false teachers and wrong doctrine that was defiling the Christians. So even today, the same kind of distortion of the Bible is all over the internet, on YouTube and social media. So Paul warns us such teachings are from demons. Let's turn to 1 Timothy 4:1. The Spirit clearly says that in later times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. We are in later times now. More and more, devil targets Christians who are not firmly established in faith to entice them with, believe in Jesus Christ plus this doctrine. Just because false teachers mention Jesus does not mean it's the truth. And devil's work is confusing the word of God and shaking the sound doctrine with its beginnings from the Garden of Eden. When Satan distorts God's words by lying to Eve, right? And he says, you will not surely die when you eat of this fruit. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 11:3-4. This is Paul talking to the Corinthians. But I'm afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. For if someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus other than the Jesus we preached, or if you receive a different spirit from the one you received, or different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it easily enough. And let's also turn to 1 John 4:1. Apostle John tells us this, dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they're from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. So let us not open our minds to anything that mentions Jesus as the truth, but test the spirit. So Apostle John warns us to test it if it comes from God. When you're not able to discern this bitter root put in people, you may perceive it as faith and even feel like you're receiving grace, but there's no growth or spiritual fruits in your life. That's a sign. Or it seems like it's right, but something is confusing and there's no confidence in your faith. Contrarily, when the effects of true words of God come and is planted in you, there's light, confidence, assurance, and unshakable faith in real-life experience of God's power and ability that's shown in your life. These are the fruits, the signs, evidence that you are witnesses for Christ. In order to have this kind of faith, we must attend church, learn the correct doctrine, and study the Bible. And Ephesians 3:10 tells us that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known. So now, the third bitter root that is mentioned in Hebrews 12:15 is that things in our minds that comes out of our lips defile us. And surely it does. So let's turn to Matthew 15:19. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. So as the verse says, what is in our minds comes out of a mouth. Words are powerful and can even change the course of people's lives. So I'm going to discuss some examples in the Bible where this happened. Numbers 12:1. If we could turn to Numbers 12:1. So in this chapter of Numbers, Aaron and Miriam talks against God's servant Moses because he took a Cushite woman as a wife after his first wife dies. So I'm going to read it. Miriam and Aaron began to talk against Moses because of a Cushite wife, for he had married a Cushite. But this was not the real reason for their complaint. And Miriam was jealous of Moses being the leader and And the pride in her heart incites her to even incite Aaron to join her. And they were Moses' older sister and brother, who were supposed to be his right and left hand of God. And we, left hand of Moses. So we even see in Exodus how Miriam was once a woman prophetess who God spoke through. But what happens to her? Bitter root of pride gets into her heart and speaks against Moses. Not only herself, but she makes Aaron join her in her sin. The Lord's anger burns against them, and she breaks out in leprosy for 7 days, and Moses had to pray on her behalf to get better. And later, she's not mentioned again after this incident. There is consequences and judgment for defiling our mouth with our wicked hearts. We're going to see another example where the whole generation was judged by the negativity that came out of the 10 spies in Numbers chapter 14. Moses sends out the 12 spies to receive report about the land of Canaan. They were the leaders of the 12 tribes of Israelites. However, the 10 spies come back with negative reports. They're too strong for us. We can never conquer them about the land and affect the first generation of the Israelites. So let's turn to Numbers 14, 36 through 37. So the men Moses had sent to explore the land, who returned and made the whole community grumble against him by spreading a bad report about it. These men, responsible for spreading the bad report about the land, were struck down and died of a plague before the Lord. We see that there's a detrimental effect on speaking negativity, where all the leaders were struck down and died. But not only them, but they who united with our minds, the whole community of Israelites who grumbled against Moses, did not enter the promised land of milk and honey and blessing, but died roaming the 38 years of wilderness, and that the second generation entered the promised land. I'm going to see another example in the book of Numbers. This is a famous incident of a Levite named Korah, who had the important role as a priest, but was jealous of the position of chief priest position. He was Moses' cousin, and he was a Levite. He was a priest. Again here, he incites a group of people who had some reason for complaint. They were Reubenites, Dathan and Abiram, who lost the blessings as firstborn, and they had this unresolved complaint in their heart. They bring 250 other Israelite leaders, well-known leaders, against Moses and Aaron. Again, their attack on God's servant Moses has a tragic ending. We see in Numbers 16, where the earth opens up and swallows the household of Korah's men, and later, fire comes out from the Lord and consumes the 250 men who united with Korah's insolence against Moses. So God gave us these examples in the Bible to teach and warn us about the importance of what comes out of our mouth, which really stems from our hearts, doesn't it? They're always the center figures, the ringleaders, so to speak, who starts the fire and brings in those who open their minds to negativity that fuels the fire. But the judgment surely comes to such wicked behaviors. Let's turn to Proverbs 18, 6 through 7. A fool's lips bring him strife, and his mouth invites a beating. A fool's mouth is his undoing, and his lips are a snare to his soul. This was a case for Miriam and the 10 spies, and the whole first generation of Israelites, and Korah and his 250 leaders that he incited. So instead, let us be full of grace with conversations that bring others closer to light. Can we turn to Colossians 4, 6? Okay. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. And let's turn to Psalm 141, verse 3. This is King David's prayer, which should be a prayer for all of us to be careful with our words. Psalm 141, 3. Set a guard over my mouth, O Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. So going back to our verse today in Hebrews 12:15, we must be careful of bitter roots that cause from opening our minds to wrong doctrines and using our lips that is used as agents of the devil. Even for us Christians, we need to be careful of that. We need to discern things that come out of our mouth or things that you hear from others. And is it something, a bitter root that was unresolved in you or dissatisfaction? We must examine our spiritual state so that we will not thwart God's kingdom work, which is our purpose here, to become more holy and holy, sanctified until we reach heaven in perfection with Jesus Christ, but also to be a blessing, to be the holy nation and royal priesthood, God's people who bring those who have not heard the message of hope and life to him. So we must not be united with people who speak foolishness. Let's pray. Thank you. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for your message to remind us of the amazing grace that we receive from you. While we were still sinners in the state of enemy against you, you sent your only Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, to save us eternally from sin. Please help us to not to throw out the grace or shrink back in faith, but to go forward, receiving your abundant grace more and more daily so that we can fulfill the calling to become holier every day and bring the message of reconciliation to those around us. Give us a pure heart, good conscience, sincere faith that pleases you. May only you, creator of the universe and only true God, receive the glory and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.